Prologue. I was never myself trained in science. My knowledge comes mainly from reading news coverage of important scientific stories in magazines like Newsweek, or hearing reports on the BBC World Service, and later reading textbooks on astronomy. Over the last 30 years, I've held many personal meetings and discussions with scientists. In these encounters, I've always attempted to grasp the underlying models and methods of scientific thought, as well as the implications of particular theories or new discoveries. But I have nonetheless thought deeply about science, not just its implications for the understanding of what reality is, but the still more important question of how it may influence ethics and human values. The specific areas of science that I have explored most over the years are subatomic physics, cosmology, and biology, including neuroscience and psychology. Given that my own intellectual training is in Buddhist thought, naturally, I have often wondered about the interface of key Buddhist concepts and major scientific ideas. This book is a result of that long period of thinking and the intellectual journey of a Buddhist monk from Tibet into the world of bubble chambers, particle accelerators, and fMRI, functional magnetic resonance imaging. Many years after I went into exile in India, I came across an open letter from the 1940s addressed to the Buddhist thinkers of Tibet. It was written by Gendun Chopel, a Tibetan scholar who not only had mastered Sanskrit, but also, uniquely among Tibetan thinkers of his time, had a good command of English. He traveled extensively in British India, Afghanistan, Nepal, and Sri Lanka in the 1930s. This letter, composed toward the end of his 12-year trip, was amazing to me. It articulates many of the areas in which there could be a fruitful dialogue between Buddhism and modern science. I discovered that Gendun Chopel's observations often coincide remarkably with my own. It is a pity that this letter did not attract the attention it deserved, partly because it was never properly published in Tibet before I came into exile in 1959. But I find it heartwarming that my own journey into the scientific world has a precedent within my own Tibetan tradition, all the more so since Gendun Chopel came from my native province of Amdo. Encountering this letter so many years after it was written was an impressive moment. I remember a disturbing conversation I had had only a few years earlier with an American lady who was married to a Tibetan. After hearing of my interest in science and my active engagement in dialogue with scientists, she warned me of the danger science poses to the survival of Buddhism. She told me that history attests to the fact that science is the killer of religion, and advised me that it was not wise for the Dalai Lama to pursue friendships with those who represent this profession. By taking this personal journey into science, I suppose I have stuck my neck out. My confidence in venturing into science lies in my basic belief that as in science, so in Buddhism, understanding the nature of reality is pursued by means of critical investigation. If scientific analysis were conclusively to demonstrate certain claims in Buddhism to be false, then we must accept the findings of science and abandon those claims. Because I am an internationalist at heart, one of the qualities that has moved me most about scientists is their amazing willingness to share knowledge with each other without regard for national boundaries. Even during the Cold War, when the political world was polarized to a dangerous degree, I found scientists from the Eastern and Western blocs willing to communicate in ways the politicians could not even imagine. I felt an implicit recognition in this spirit of the oneness of humanity and a liberating absence of proprietorship in matters of knowledge. The motivation for my interest in science is more than merely personal. Even before I came into exile, it was clear to me and others in the country that one of the underlying causes for Tibet's political tragedy was its failure to open itself to modernization. As soon as we arrived in India, we set up Tibetan schools for refugee children with a modern curriculum, which included scientific education for the first time. By then, I had come to recognize that the essence of modernization lies in the introduction of modern education, and at the heart of modern education, there must be a command of science and technology. My personal commitment to this educational project has led me to encourage even the monastic colleges, whose primary role is to teach classical Buddhist thought, to introduce science into their curriculum.